Tantal Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fallen by Hattie Jacks, narrated by Carmen Rose and Dan Kelly. Emma. The winged alien male watches me with ultimate suspicion as I carefully measure the ingredients I've persuaded him to let me have into a bowl. Strange alien ingredients, I'm hoping a flour, sugar, and an egg. My hand hovers over the bowl as I go to strike the shell of the dark green oval on the edge. I am breaking an egg into a bowl in front of an alien with wings, as if my life could get any weirder. Weirder than being abducted, drugged, held captive by sentient AI robots called Proto that wanted to use me as a host for alien babies, implanting something in my brain that means I can understand alien languages, then, to cap it all, along with four other human women, I'm rescued by a race of aliens who are all feathered predators, the Legion of the Kryn. The shell is not hard like a chicken egg, more like a reptile egg, and I have to pull it rather than crack it apart. A happily familiar yellow and translucent raw egg plops into my mixture. I look up into the dark eyes of the winged alien male who continues to eye me warily. He doesn't react. And remembering the absence of birds on this planet, I wonder exactly what sort of creature lays eggs on Ustakos. Come on, Emma. You're a professional. Get cooking. I pick up a carved wooden spoon and stir the mixture until it's smooth. Then I pour it into a metal pan that is going to have to pass for a cake tin. Is that it? The young alien warrior asks me. It needs to go in the oven. Fire pit for around 20 minutes, I reply, gently pushing past him and heading to the enormous hearth flickering with flame. It reminds me of a medieval castle kitchen. A small area to one side of the fireplace is what they use to bake the hard breadsticks called pier, that are the only baked goods these aliens produce. I try not to think about the kitchen that was waiting for me on Earth, in a pretty corner of a Cotswold village in southern England. The one I designed from scratch, and which had every single catering gadget I would possibly ever want. I slide the cake inside the oven and stand back. The male hovers at my shoulder, still concerned. What will it do? He asks. It will rise and cook. I turn to him and smile, trying to put him at ease. Then you can taste it. He recoils as if I've punched him. Honestly, I'm sure you'll like it. He makes a face that's somewhere between disgust and terror. Most of these male aliens haven't seen a female since they were ripped away from their families as children by Proto. The only reason he's indulging me now is the fact that I'm female, and he's both scared and in awe of me. Cooking for the lair is seen as a lowly job, and left to some of the youngest warriors, all of whom want to prove themselves so they can rise out of the kitchens and join the patrols against Proto. At least, that's what I've found out while I've been hanging around the huge building the Kryn call their lair, and is now my home. You can take the chef out of the kitchen, but you can't stop her cooking up a storm. As I wait for my cake to bake, I remind myself I have to start a storm somewhere. How long now? My alien asks impatiently, as they all are. I remind myself they're young and ambitious, just like I once was. I risk a peep in the oven. The cake is browning nicely, and I'm pleased that the fact I've made thousands of cakes in my time means I don't need a watch to check the time. I would expect it to take another 5 minutes. Then I remember that the Kryn don't have clocks or bother with time other than night or day. How do you time your cooking? He shakes out his wings at me, attempting to be a little menacing and just making himself seem younger. Once it's running with blood, it's ready, he huffs. I can't help myself but laugh. All these males eat only meat, mostly a cow-like animal with three eyes they call Maraha. The human woman who met the Kryn before us, Viv, managed to get them to introduce a single vegetable into their diet, but it's not popular. That's exactly how I like my Maraha, too. I give him my warmest of smiles, and I see he relaxes just a little. You do a great job, all of you. Feeding the lair is an important responsibility. I look behind him at the other two mercs, the title given to any warrior who is not a squadron leader or a member of the small cohort of senior warriors who include their imposing leader, Gia, Prime of the Kryn. He puffs himself up slightly in my words. I'd still rather be on patrol, he says, and I groan internally as they go silent again. Cake should be ready, I say brightly, after what seems like forever, but my nose tells me was no time at all. It seems in all the universe, creating culinary delights is not seen as the important job it actually is. After all, an army marches on its stomach, especially an alien army stuck in a seemingly never-ending war for survival against the sentient AI. I pull on an enormous leather gauntlet that drowns my hand and reach into the oven, pulling out the cake. Setting the tin to one side, I gently press on the top to see if the sponge gives under my finger. After all, despite my experience, not only was I guessing at the measurements, but I'm also using ingredients that are, literally, alien to me. The sponge springs back, and I turn to the Merc in triumph. Is it supposed to do that? He asks, the suspicious look back on his face. It means it's cooked, I reply, unable to keep the note of joy from my voice. It doesn't look cooked. He twists up his mouth. What? I turn back to my cake. The center has dipped, almost to the bottom of the pan. I feel like my first day in catering college. Like I have a culinary mountain to climb. Ah, I think it might need some more ingredients. Not quite the same as on Earth. I quickly calculate that the eggs might be different, or that more of the flour-like substance might be needed. You can still taste it if you want. He steps a little closer, peers further at the cake, snorts out a breath and backs away. If this is what you have on your planet, I'll stick to Ustakos food, he replies. But you don't mind if I try again? I call after him as he walks off. Help yourself. I don't care. He returns to the hearth, where the enormous Maraha carcasses roast, spinning slowly on their spits, ready to be carried through to the food hall where the rest of the lair dines. I pluck at some of the sponge that hasn't collapsed, and very gingerly put it in my mouth. The flavours explode over my tongue. If I can get the thing to rise, it's going to be one of the best things I've ever baked. Because that's what I do. It's all I do. I create things people want. My entire life as a chef is about pleasing others. And if I can't get back to Earth and my perfect pub kitchen, I'm definitely going to create my own little piece of Earth on Ustakos.
Mick. The sword slices through the air with a hiss as the blade cleaves the oxygen itself. Or at least, that's what I'd like to believe. Each and every stroke brings me closer to my peak to put me in condition, to ensure I can exact my revenge when the time comes. I drip with sweat. It runs off me in rivers, mixing with the dirt from the forge and streaking me with black. My feathers twirl as I leap, fly, and spin, each movement a calculated killing blow as I increase my paces in the empty room. The empty room that empties my mind and allows me the opportunity to concentrate on my goal. My only goal, hunting down Proto and smashing it to oblivion in order to avenge the death of my sister. The sword clatters across the floor as I break concentration for a second, my mind filling with thoughts of her sweet face and how her eyes closed for the last time as she lay in my arms. The rest of the senior grin may have been made to forget by Proto, but it did something far worse to me. It allowed me to remember everything. With a roar, I roll and grab the sword again, redoubling my efforts to hunt, kill, and maim. I might have been unable to protect her, but I will protect the lair and the other grin with everything I have. I will use the enhanced healing Proto gave me to ensure I destroy it. Mick? I whirl around at the intrusion, unable to see anything in front of me other than bots. My sword blade comes up against soft flesh. Soft flesh that squeaks. What have you been told about entering the forge without an invitation? I rasp, my chest heaving with my self-imposed exertions.
The forge is off limits,
the young Merc whispers. A thin line of red runs across his throat. And now do you know why? I cuff him around the head. Younglings might be the bane of my life. They seem terminally attracted to my weaponry. But it doesn't take the really curious long to find out why it's not a good idea to come into the forge.
Ow, yes,
he whines. What did you want?
Finn sent me to pick up the new weapons for the patrols.
I growl low in my throat, I've not finished my workout, and that means the dark clouds are too close to the front of my mind. The Merc doesn't move, and I can't work out if it's because he's scared or stubborn. I feint to the left, and he flinches violently, scared, as it should be. I don't need any more responsibility on my shoulders than what I already placed there. Follow me. I grunted him. I lead the way through to the main area of my forge. The fire was tamped down while I ran through my paces, but it still glows white heat in the centre. Finn's weapons are over there. I point a claw towards a carefully bundled pile of swords I finished last night. They're wrapped in heavy Maraha hide. Tell him to take care. These have a new coating that makes them particularly sharp. I suspect my grin of triumph has scared the youngling more than me nearly taking his head off earlier as he backs away from me, nearly tripping over his wings in his haste.
I'll tell him. I'm also going on patrol today.
His chest heaves with pride as he lifts the bundle into his arms. My heart descends to the floor. Another young grin at the mercy of Proto. I can't deny the young ones their chance to prove themselves. I just wish I could protect every single one. Nothing to be proud of. I snarl at him. Proto wants to kill us all. If it gets you and you're not ready, it will torture you for information about the lair before you die. You know that, don't you? Are you ready? He visibly shudders at my harsh assessment.
Hey, Mick.
Kit, the lair's quartermaster, stands in the doorway to my forge, leaning against the doorframe, watching my interaction with the Merc. As usual, his thought bond, the telepathic link I share with all the senior grin, exerts a calming influence over me. Kit is happy. He makes me happy. I don't want to be happy, but I like to feel it in him, the youngster we rescued from Proto.
Rexov,
he says to the Merc, who needs no further excuse and scurries away in a flurry of feathers. What do you want, Kit? I turn back to my forge, pumping up the bellows to get the fire roaring again. I'm busy. Ryak has a large order he needs me to fill.
What on Ustakos does Ryak want weapons for?
Kit ambles in and starts poking at the throwing daggers I have hanging from one of the many weapons stores. They tinkle pleasantly as he touches them. If it was any other grin, they'd be at risk of losing their claws. I shrug at him. That's what he asked for.
I'm going to send you up Sophie later to discuss weapons for capturing a Joykill. Can you be nice to her?
Kit tries not to allow his voice to waver, but it does, tailing off into the growl of a mated male. Thank Nisus. I've been trying to get him to see he needs to take a mate for the last half a cycle. Even if capturing a Joykill bot, one of Proto's nastiest creations, is not exactly what he should be involving a mate in. I grunted him, and the pleasure that resonates down the thought bond fills my heart. The pleasure of being a mated male, even if Kit doesn't recognize it yet. A heart I can't give in to. Not now. Not ever. My heart is shriveled. It is nothing. I've nothing left to risk, and nothing left to lose. Proto did that to me, and I will ensure that nothing is left of it once I get my chance.
Emma. I look over my creations proudly. Once I got the right amount of alien ingredients, in the right order, baking became just as easy to me as it did on Earth. I've got flaky Danish-style pastries, all covered in sticky ambrosia. Bread buns and sponge cake I flavour with something that passes for lemon. I gave the ambrosia a wide berth, given that Viv's already warned me about its soporific properties. Makes tasting a little difficult, but I'll adjust the amounts I've used once I get more feedback from the grin. Set out on a trestle table in the food hall, I think it all looks very tempting. And it's all ready for the lunchtime rush. A little piece of earth right here on Ustakos. A ruined alien planet at what is probably the opposite end of the universe to the Milky Way. I try very, very hard not to allow tears to form. I might have been just about to start my new life, without my twat of a former fiancé, opening my own pub, when I was snatched away. All I remember was reaching into the back of my car, lifting out a box of vegetables, when I felt a sharp pain in my neck. The last thing I saw was the ruby red and emerald green peppers tumbling to the ground, as everything went dark. Life in full colour became a swirl of pain and horror, until I woke up in a white and silver room with three other unconscious women, all of whom immediately became my responsibility and my friends. This looks amazing, Em. Bianca sashays into the food hall, making a beeline for my table. What are these? She picks up a Danish and frowns at it. Danish pastry. Wait. Bianca goes to take a big bite. They're covered in ambrosia. Try these ones instead. I pull out a platter with pastries that I haven't covered in the stuff, because my human friends have already indicated they like what I've made. Given I've been promising them forever, I would start to cook human foods. Mmm, Bianca mumbles, her mouth full. These are amazing. You're a genius. My heart warms a little at her enthusiasm. Bianca can be a great cheerleader when she wants to be. Do you want to try some? I ask a couple of mercs who walk past the table. Now is a good a time as any, given Bianca is stuffing her face, and at least it shows what I've made is edible. Like most of the males in the enormous sprawling cliffside complex the Legion of the Grin call their lair, they initially look alarmed that a female spoke to them. This is immediately followed by an attempt to look strong, their feathers bristling. I'm not entirely sure they know that they are doing this, especially as on occasions I've seen them look at their own wings in surprise. What is it? The first merc pops out a retractable claw from a finger and pokes at a bread bun in the manner of a cat considering whether or not to knock a priceless ornament off a table. That's bread, a bit like your peer, only not as hard. I smile at him, and he takes a step back, withdrawing his claw and firing a nervous glance at his friend. These are pastries. They're sweet, made with ambrosia.
Ambrosia gives me bellyache, the second merc says to his friend. I need maraha, he adds, and the pair of them move away without a backwards glance.
Baking was always going to be a hard sell to a lair full of males who love their meat, Bianca says, licking her fingers. That's only two of them. I've got over 100 left to go. At least one of them might like my offerings. I say brightly. It's an experiment, after all.
A very tasty experiment.
Bianca whips a bread bun from the pile, avoiding the slightly clawed one.
I'm going to make a sandwich, she adds, bun clutched to her chest. An honest-to-God sandwich. You are a genius.
I've pleased one creature in the lair anyway. She skips towards the roasting maraha carcass, no doubt hoping to charm one of the warriors into cutting her some meat. My stomach squeezes at the concept of a sandwich. Something so incredibly simple yet completely alien on this planet. I miss Earth. I don't miss my cheating ex or the debt he left me with, but I miss familiarity. I miss knowing that I'm capable of creating things people will love and of seeing the joy and pleasure on their faces when they eat my food. If someone offered me a ticket back home, I'd take it in a heartbeat. Sure. I'd be sad to leave behind my friends who have hooked up with the Grin warriors here on Ustakos. I'd certainly miss their babies. They are so cute, and growing up so fast. My heart flip-flops in my chest at the thought of children, something I'd always wanted and had hoped would follow my marriage. When that all fell apart, I resigned myself to it never happening. I put everything into making a life for myself, one which I had hoped would be filled with happiness and children. Instead, at 30, I found myself staring down an abyss of emptiness without the will to start everything all over again. It was all I could do to restart my career. Any more relationships were out of the question. I had to start again, and I can't let my bad experience colour who I am. I refuse to be cowed, to be unpleasant to others, because crappy things happened to me. All the bad decisions I made on Earth slam into my chest, robbing me of my breath. I press back down the panic that used to rise inside me and stand up straight again in order to face the new cohort of noisy males who've entered the food hall. Because I'm not the person I was on Earth. Not anymore. If I have to start from the bottom again, I will. I want to bring light, life, and good food into everyone's lives. That way I can get lost in my cooking and creating. It's the best place for me because being positive is what I am. And what I do. And the more I do it, the more I can forget what a mess I made of things and face the future on an alien planet that wants to kill me.
Female, a voice rumbles out of the crowd. What is all of this?
Mick, Ryak's order was relatively simple to fulfill. the crossbows I already had in stock. He had some unusual requests for bolt tips which took longer than expected. There are rumours that the secretive head of our security has a laser weapon. Trust Ryak to be the first Grin to handle something like that in the many cycles that have passed since the Great Reckoning robbed all organic life on Ustakos of the ability to use any type of tech without attracting the unwanted attention of Proto. I know Kit is working on something with his mate, but there will always be a need for my weapons. Sharp, spiked and violent is the way the Grin operate, and no amount of tech is going to change our ability to tear through flesh and bone as if it's not even there. To scent blood and to react accordingly. I won't deny what I am, what we all are. Predators, mercenaries. That's what Proto did to us. Jay might want the lair to be a home for all Grin, but it is merely a staging post for an army, whatever he wants to think. Finn, what can I do to assist? I call out without turning around. The lair's command, Jay's second, might think he's a closed book, but his thought bond is one of the easiest for me to read out of all the seniors. It swells with his delight in his mate's new pregnancy and in violent thoughts towards Proto, both of which are admirable, if not exactly what I'd expect to find in the same head. Mick. Finn strides across the forge and wing bumps me, senior to senior. I wish to congratulate you on those new swords. Did they prove promising? I try not to luxuriate in the glow of a job well done, because my job is never done. They cut through Proto's best choy kills like they weren't even there. How'd you do it? I laugh, and even the lair's best fighter recoils. I've been working on a new way of forging and coating the blades. I'm pleased they proved effective. Come eat with me. It's been a long time since you attended any gathering. Gatherings haven't ever been my thing, I reply, but my stomach growls in protest. The food hall will be quiet this time of day. My patrols have been and gone. Come have some maraha with me. It's unusual for Finn to be so open, but I believe his mate is having a positive influence on him, especially since they announced her most recent pregnancy. I suspect he may wish to discuss something else with me. I have a murky brings me my meals, I reply. I have no need to go to the food hall. What I mean is, I'm terrified of Merc into bringing me choice cuts straight from the kitchens. There's simply nothing better than maraha when it's roasted to perfection, spiced and with blood that runs slick with fat. That can only be obtained when it's still in the kitchens before it's brought to the food hall and ruined by hours of roasting. I'm not going to tell Finn that it's all about the way something is cooked, and I prefer to eat alone. That's hardly the mark of a dedicated, hardened warrior. I know you do. But he's on patrol for the next half a turn. Finn inclines his head, hitching up a top lip to reveal a sharp tooth in his version of a smile. And I'd like the company. Now I know he has something he wishes to discuss with me. Finn never likes company unless it's his mate. Still, his thought bond is calm. I can't imagine it will be anything too taxing and... He's right, the food hall is usually quiet about now. Well, if you'd like the company, how can I possibly refuse? I stride out of the forge and launch myself up the central shaft, heading for the food hall, with Finn in close pursuit as we head in behind a gang of jostling mercs. As soon as I land, an incredible scent fills my nostrils, sweet like ambrosia, spiced like the best maraha the mochi can supply, and with the hint of something completely perfect that I can't place my claw on. Finn joins me and, for half a second, I want to shove him away. Instead, I get a grip on my instinct and follow my nose into the hall. On the side of the enormous hearth, where the maraha are roasting to oblivion, there is a new table, set out with a myriad of foods I don't recognize, and behind it stands one of the human females. Maraha? Finn asks, heading directly for the gently turning carcasses. I'm transfixed by the new foodstuffs, drawn inexorably towards the table with the items on display. All baked goods of one description or another. Not one of them looks like a pear stick, thank the goddess Nisus. Instead, they all look edible and delicious. The crowd of mercs follow Finn, and the female is left alone at the table, just as I reach it. Female, what is all of this? I'm unable to help myself, snatching up a sticky round item and shoving it into my mouth. It melts. Flaky and sweet, it is like something the goddess might have left for me in a dream. The taste of ambrosia floods my mouth with a hint of savory that perfectly complements the texture, and other flavors. I can't recall anything making my mouth and my stomach feel as delighted. Already, I'm reaching for another creation, and it follows the first one. This time, it's stretchy and gooey on the inside, where it's crunchy on the outside. I need more. All of my being is consumed with the desire to eat everything on offer. Before I know it, I've eaten half a dozen of the food items, and the female is staring at me with a mixture of awe and horror.
It's some of the food we have on Earth, made from Ustakos ingredients as best I can,
she stutters out, her pretty green eyes sweeping over me. I look down at myself, remembering that I didn't bathe after my morning workout, just continued in the forge. I'm smeared with soot and dirt from head to foot. The soot from the forge has settled around my muscles and in the creases of my scars, the ones Proto gave me before it altered me to allow almost instant healing. I'm utterly, completely filthy, having added flakes of the human food to my general dirty appearance. No wonder the female is not entirely sure if she's looking at a warrior or a gack shoveler from the latrines.
These are what we call pastries,
she continues, pointing to the flaky items covered in ambrosia.
These are called bread buns. Here we have croissants, bagels and muffins.
She indicates each item in turn.
I'm very pleased with how the muffins turned out. On Earth, we'd call the flavour lemon, but here, I think it's called Sitmore.
She mangles the pronunciation, but then that's to be expected. Proto programmed the humans with our language. It didn't teach them how to speak it. Tasty. I can't think of much more to say. And it's noticeable that this female isn't afraid of me, where most of the mercs give me a wide berth.
I'm pleased you think so.
She leans over the table towards me and lowers her voice conspiratorially.
Not all of your fellow warriors think the same. I've yet to persuade any of them to try.
Frexin idiots, they have no idea what they are missing. I think you'll find the grin don't adapt too well to a change in diet. I snag a muffin on the end of one of my claws and pop it into my mouth, whole. The flavour of Sitmore explodes over my tongue, and it's all I can do to stifle a groan of delight.
I just thought that bringing a little bit of earth to Ustakos was the least I could do after you took us in.
The female smiles at me.
I just wish I could persuade all of the grin to try.
Her smile pales. All of the warriors will try. It will just take time. I growl at her, because something inside me has snapped. I don't want anyone to ever taste anything this female has made. I want to keep her all to myself.
Emma. The enormous, filthy grin warrior stands in front of my table and looks at me as if I might be the next snack he tries. Given that he's gobbled up half of what I've made, that could easily be the case. He's a senior. That much is clear from the black band that encircles his upper left bicep, and given the strong smell of smoke and musky sweat, it has to be Mick, the lair's weapon master. A grin who only puts in an appearance around the lair when there's bots to be destroyed. And he's every bit as imposing in the flesh as his reputation suggests. Soot outlines every single muscle on his heavily defined six-pack. His skin shines where it's visible, dusky and warm. The grin don't bother with clothing for their top half. Presumably, it gets in the way of the wings. In a lair full of very buff alien males, it can get distracting. But in Mick's case, it's gone beyond distracting. He's giving off a dirty bad boy vibe that's having an effect on me that it really shouldn't have. Because I always fall for the bad boy. My ex was a biker, the one everyone warned me about. The one who dumped me while his new girlfriend was outside waiting on the back of his bike. So Mick might be interesting, bad, gorgeously filthy and very into my baking, but it's a no. I'm not getting involved.
Do you know the best way to convince the mercs to try your food?
Mick rumbles. His voice is low and sounds like gravel being dragged over velvet. It gives me shivers. No, but I'm willing to try anything.
Get them to see a senior eating them. The mercs like to be told what to do. If they see a senior enjoying your human food, then they will try.
I look around the food hall. Other than the small cohort that came in before Mick and Gia's second-in-command, Finn, the place is decidedly empty. Any chance you could? Mick is shaking his head already. So much for his help.
I'm not any sort of warrior they look up to. You should try Kit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?